He who brought the treasure of divine love and was filled with compassion and mercy. Where is such a personality as Srinivasacharya gone? Where am I, Swarup Damodara and Rupa Goswami? Where is Sanatan? Where is Raghunath Das, the savior of the fallen? Where am I, Raghunath Bhatta and Gopal Bhatta, and where is Krishnadas Kaviraj? Where did Lord Gauranga, the great dancer, suddenly go? I will smash my head against the rock and enter into the fire. Where will I find Lord Gauranga, the reservoir of all wonderful qualities? Being unable to obtain the association of Lord Gauranga, accompanied by all of these devotees, in whose association he performed his pastimes, Narottama Das simply weeps. So today is the disappearance day of Shripad Madhavendrapuri. So Om Gada Timuranda Shya Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshuram Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So we're going to speak about Madhavendrapuri. So according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that before Madhavendrapuri appeared, no one manifested the topmost symptoms of the manifestation of the gopi's love for Krishna. So he was actually like the root in our sampradaya of understanding the gopi's love for Krishna. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course, is the disciple of his disciple. Did you know that? So Madhavendrapuri, he had many disciples. He was traveling all over India. And when he was getting ready to leave this world, some of his disciples were taking care of him. One disciple's name was Ishwarapuri, who was the spiritual master of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But there was another disciple who wasn't so nice. His name was Ramchandrapuri. And as Madhavendrapuri was getting ready to leave this world, he was experiencing separation from Krishna, that is, the mood of what we call vipralamba seva. You've heard that word before? That means if you feel so much separation from someone spiritually, you're actually with them. Just like if I feel separation from Prabhupada, then I'm not disconnected from him. I'm with Srila Prabhupada. So that's a spiritual relationship. But if I feel disconnection or separation from someone material, just like when I was young, we had a dog. And the dog's name was Pepe. So Chihuahua. So if I'm feeling separated, I'm not, of course. But if I was feeling separation from the dog, then it's just separation. And even when you're with someone, you're separated because there's no meeting of minds. Material relationships we're talking about. Because people are on different wavelengths. You understand wavelengths? Different frequencies. Like if you have a radio, you tune the radio to frequency like 108 megahertz, something like that. And then, let's say I'm talking to Keshav, and I'm on 108 megahertz, and he's on 99 megahertz. And we're thinking we're communicating, but he's thinking something different. It's like a dog, for example. Let's take a dog. You're not a dog, so don't worry. Let's take a dog, for example. You're thinking, oh, this dog loves me. And the dog is thinking, if I'm nice to this guy, he'll feed me. So he's thinking something different. You're thinking it's licking you. Because people like to be licked by their dogs. Love, love, love. And he's thinking, food, food, food. Just like there's that typical example that Prabhupada gave, that the dog, when someone has a dog, he likes to lick your nose. Why? Because it tastes good. And that, because it's salty. And then, do you know what happens when people die and the body's just lying there? The dog eats the nose first. So he's just like having a little taste of what he'll have later on. So you're thinking, the whole point is the communication is not there. But when one's feeling separation from a great devotee and spirituality, then you're connected with the person, whether you're with them physically or not with them physically. There's no separation. Like Prabhupada said, he was never separated from his spiritual master, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Anyway, So Madhavendra Puri, when he's getting ready to leave this world, he was feeling separation from Krishna. He said, "Oh Krishna, I have not reached Mathura." And this one disciple, Ramchandra Puri, started to criticize his guru. He said, "Gurudev, be on the Brahman platform. If you're on the Brahman platform, you won't hanker or lament for anything. Snap out of Maya, Gurudev." Can you imagine telling that to your spiritual master? I mean, those of you who are disciples of Tamal Krishnamars, what would happen if you told them that? You'd be burnt to ashes, right? Next thing, you'd be cremated, instant cremation. And, you know, if you do that with me, I'll just make a sarcastic joke about it. So we have different ways of dealing with things that are improper. So Madhavendra Puri, when he was told by this spiritual this disciple, Ramchandra Puri, said, "Ah, I have not reached Mathura, feeling separation, but this rascal has come to harass me, so get that out of here. I don't want to see your face anymore." And so that was the last instruction that Ramchandra Puri got from his spiritual master, to get out of there. And he became an offender to many Vaishnavas, including Chaitanya Mahaprabhu later on. He used to criticize Vaishnavas by feeding them too much and then talking, "He eats too much." Just like if I go to your house and you feed me a lot and I eat a lot, then afterwards I'll say, "He eats too much." That's what Ramchandra Puri used to do. Of course, hopefully no one here does that with me. So, and there, that, by offending his spiritual master, he lost everything. Whereas Ishwara Puri, by serving his spiritual master in a very humble way, he got everything. He got to be the guru of Lord Chaitanya. I mean, if you have a disciple like that, you don't need any other disciples. You know, that's enough. You know, Lord Chaitanya, God is your disciple. So anyway, so that's the story about Madhavendra Puri's two disciples. So, of course, Lord Nityananda took initiation from Madhavendra Puri. So Lord Nityananda had left home at a very early age. A sannyasi actually took him away when he was like 8 years old, 8 or 9 years old. Because in those days, when a sannyasi came to your home, whatever he asked for, you had to give. Nowadays, you just say, "Maharaj, it's time to leave." So, and, anyway, so this Hadai Pandit, the father of Lord Nityananda, had to give Lord Nityananda to the sannyasi, because the sannyasi needed a servant. And eventually, after traveling all over India, he met Madhavendra Puri, and met Madhavendra Puri. He and Madhavendra Puri embraced and remained unconscious, basically, for the whole day. And all the disciples of Madhavendra Puri couldn't understand what was happening, but it was a symptom of ecstatic love. It's called Vyabhachari Bhava, uncontrolled ecstasy. So the whole story of Madhavendra Puri was actually told to Lord Chaitanya from Ishwara Puri, Lord Chaitanya's spiritual master. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu later on recited that story to many of his followers. So in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we hear Lord Chaitanya talking about Madhavendra Puri. And the context of that particular story is when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling to South India. And actually, you know, traveling to Jagannath Puri, actually. So on the way to Jagannath Puri, he reached this place called Rimuna. Those of you who traveled with us would remember that place. Rimuna is where this deity of Shira Chora Gopinath is. Everybody's heard of Shira Chora Gopinath? Shira Chora Gopinath, of course, is the deity that stole the sweet rice for his devotee, Madhavendra Puri. And when we were there, we spent the night there, you remember? It was very nice. We spent the night there, and practically had to sleep with rats. There was, do you remember that? It was very austere, very austere. And we went to Mangalarti. We took over their Mangalarti, and everybody had this shira, this condensed milk, was described as sweeter than nectar. So Lord Chaitanya went there, and he saw the deity of Gopinath. The deity of Gopinath was actually carved by Lord Ramchandra. Remember the story? Like Lord Ramchandra was asked by Sita Devi, what do you look like in Dwapara Yuga? And Lord Ramchandra took his arrowhead and he carved on a rock this deity of Gopinath. Pretty interesting. And so this deity is very beautiful. It's like a relief deity. It's not a three-dimensional standing deity. It's like a bas relief. Some of you may know what that means. Like you see relief panels. So Lord Chaitanya, when he saw the deity, the crown of the deity fell, the flower crown fell on Lord Chaitanya's head. So that was an indication that the deity was giving the crown to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told the story of Madhavendra Puri, which we're going to talk about right now. So Madhavendra Puri took the type of sannyas, or exhibited the type of sannyas. This is called Parvajakacharya. There's different types of sannyas. In Parvajakacharya, you don't worry about what you're going to eat. You don't ask for food, it comes. And if it doesn't come, you don't eat. So Madhavendra Puri was in Vrindavan, and he wasn't eating because no food came. There's a different stage called Madhukari, where you go to people's homes and you say, you know, please give me one roti, or please give me a pizza, or something like that. But in the stage of Parvajakacharya, you don't ask anyone. You just keep wandering, depending on Krishna. So at this particular juncture, a young boy, after he took his bath, after Madhavendra Puri took his bath in Govindakund, a young boy came with some milk. And Madhavendra Puri said, you know, where does milk come from? And the young boy said, no one fasts in our village, and I'll come back later to get the pot. So that night, Madhavendra Puri had a dream. And in that dream, he understood, it was revealed that that boy was Krishna. Wow. And in the dream, Krishna took Madhavendra Puri by the hand and took him to a bush. And he said, that's where I am. I've been hidden here because the Muslims came to attack. And when the Muslims came to attack, sometimes they smashed the deities. And that's why many of the deities had to be taken out of Vrindavan to Jaipur, to Karoli, where Madan Mohan is in Karoli, and different places. Some of the deities were actually put in water and later on taken out when the Muslims disappeared. So this Gopal was the name of the deity, which later became known as Nachi or Sri Nachi, and he's worshipped in Nathdwara right now, primarily by people from Gujarat. He's worshipped in Nathdwara. So anyway, and also the Pushti Marg worships him. Pushti Marg means the followers of Vallabhacharya. So anyway, so Krishna took Madhavendra Puri by the hand, showed him where he was, and says, you should construct a temple on top of the hill and bathe me as soon as you find me. And so my name is Gopal. And I was installed by Vajra, which is Brajanabha, who is the great-grandson of Krishna, who installed all the deities in Vrindavan. All the main deities like Madan Mohan, and all the deities were actually installed by him. And even in Govardhan, there's some deities, the Uddhava Vihari deities were actually installed by him. And also there's a Nrisingadev deity at Govardhan. Does anyone remember? You remember that? You remember that? Yeah, we climb at the tail. We climbed the hill, and there was an Ugra Nrisingadev deity there. So they were all installed by Braja. So anyway, so Madhavendra Puri woke up, and he realized that he had taken milk from Gopal, and he kept that pot that the milk was in, and every day he would eat a little piece of the pot just to remember this particular pastime. So when he woke up, he went to all the villagers and said, Gopal is there. We have to rescue him. So they went to this place that was called the Gopal Prakrat Stali. Did I take you there too? Which is right in the village of Anior. And that's where Madhavendra Puri discovered Gopal. He was in the bushes, so they had to get choppers, you know, like big knives, to actually cut away the bushes. And they put him on top of the hill. And on top of the hill, they washed him with water. taken from Govindakund. There were 900 pots, and there was a big Abhishek. And there was also Pancha Gavya. What's Pancha Gavya? Does anyone know? Pancha Gavya is the five products of the cow, like the cow urine and things like that. And then there's also Panchamrita. There's two different things. Panchamrita is like sugar, honey, milk, yogurt. And they offered food, and Madhavendra Puri initiated some pujaris so they can continue worshiping the deities. And this went on for 2 years. And after 2 years, Krishna appeared to Madhavendra Puri in his dream, and he said, I'm pretty hot. I've been in the bushes here. You know, in Vrindavan, there's 50 degrees sometimes. Of course, he didn't give the whole temperature, but he said, I want some sandalwood. Because usually you put sandalwood on the deities when it's hot. It's actually quite interesting. I know in Fiji they put sandalwood on Prabhupada even when it's freezing. Isn't it? It's like a ritual. But people don't understand there's a purpose to the ritual. Isn't it? So somehow or other, you know, you're freezing to death and shaking from the cold, and then you put sandalwood and you get colder. It's foolish. Because the purpose of sandalwood is cooling. And the does anyone know what heats you? Mustard oil. Sandalwood cools, and if you want to get heated, you put mustard oil on your body. And then you smell like mustard. Which is actually good for your health. So Prabhupada would take his massage every day with mustard oil, not with sandalwood oil. Every day, there was a bottle. And there's one interesting story. The one time Shutakirti wasn't careful, and he knocked over the bottle of mustard oil. And Prabhupada got really angry with him. And then Prabhupada had him scoop it up and put it back in the bottle, because it was considered very valuable. And in Bengal, they cook with mustard oil. They fry eggplants, which are like little sponges, in mustard oil. And then you eat it. And it tastes very tasty, but at the same time, it burns your throat. It's interesting. So, anyway, so Madhavendra Puri, in order to get the sandalwood, he wanted to go, basically, to Jagannath Puri to get the sandalwood, because that's where they had the sandalwood at that time. So then he went towards Bengal first on the way to Jagannath Puri, because when you're all the way in Vrindavan, you have to cross India. You understand? It's all the way on the other side of India. Not quite on the other side. Vrindavan's sort of in the middle. But anyway, so you have to cross maybe 1,000 kilometers. And then he went through Bengal, and there, guess who he gave initiation to? Advaitacharya. So he initiated Advaitacharya. So Advaitacharya and Lord Nityananda were godbrothers. And then he went to Ramuna, which we mentioned before, where Lord Chaitanya was, where Shirachari Gopinath is. And he heard that they were offering this shira, which was very delicious, and he wanted to figure out how to make it. And so he asked the pujari, how do you make it? And then he was thinking, if I could taste it, I could actually make it for Gopal. But he became so embarrassed because he was thinking of eating the prasad before it was offered. So he went to the marketplace and started chanting and fell asleep that particular, or rested that particular night. And while he dozed, the priest of Shirachara Gopinath had a dream, and in the dream, what did the deity say to him, Keshav? You're not listening. The deity... What? Yeah, what? Yeah. Very nice. So he went to the marketplace. He took a bath first before he went into the deity room. And then he said, if there's a sannyasi here named Bhanavendra Puri, please come. Gopal has stolen, or Shirachara Gopinath, has stolen sweet rice for you. You're the most fortunate person. So Bhanavendra Puri got the sweet rice, washed the pot, and also that pot he ate pieces of every day as he was traveling. And then he continued to Jagannath Puri to get camphor and sandalwood, because camphor is also cooling. And he got two servants that helped him with the camphor and the sandalwood. And they paid, of course, for the taxes along the ways and everything like that. So when he got back to Ramuna on the way back to seeing to Gopal, he was going back to Vrindavan, so he passed through Ramuna. Then he had a dream, and Shirachara Gopinath said to him, of course, Shirachara Gopinath means the deity who stole Chora. Like if you want to insult someone, you say Chora, 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 Chora. One time in Fiji, some devotees wanted to insult another devotee, and they wrote in big letters on one building, so-and-so is a thief, a chore. Krishna is also a chore. He's makan chore, right? So, in the dream, Gopal said to him, Madhavendra Puri had this dream, and Gopal said to him, I've already accepted this sandalwood pulp. You don't have to go all the way across India. Offer it to Gopinath. So we offer the Gopinath. To Gopinath the sandalwood, because the deity wanted to save Madhavendra Puri the trouble of traveling all the way across India and running into all the Muslims and everything like that. And so that's the story of Madhavendra Puri. So Madhavendra Puri, as I described before, never asked anyone for anything. He just depended completely on Krishna. And there's a very interesting verse that Madhavendra Puri wrote, and I'm going to read it. And it's actually a verse that Radharani spoke. This is one of his favorite verses and spoken at the time of when he left this world. The verse goes as follows. Ai dena dayadra natahe mathura nata kadavalokyise ridaya twara loka katara noita brahmyati kiya koromyaham. And the verse is, O my Lord, O my most merciful Master, O Master of Mathura, when shall I see you again? Because of not seeing you, my agitated heart has become unsteady. O most beloved one, what shall I do now? So that's the story of Madhavendra Puri. And so today is his disappearance day. Prabhupada said, I was listening actually this morning to Prabhupada's lecture about the disappearance of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and he said appearance and disappearance are the same for a devotee, because he's coming to go on a mission for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he's leaving to go on a mission for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it's not like us. We are born, of course the soul is never born, but we're born and we die. We haven't come on a mission for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We've come for what purpose, Keshav? To try to forget Krishna. To try to enjoy in the material world. Just like Prabhupada gave the example of a little girl, when she sees her mother cook, she's given a play stove sometimes, like a tin stove. And then the little girl tries to cook, but all she can cook is a mud pie in it. Disgusting, something really disgusting. So we see Krishna, and we think, hey, I'd like to do that too. And Krishna gives us this play world, not actually so much play, which is a perverted reflection of the material world, and we try our best and we simply get at something that's disgusting. Birth, death, disease, and old age. Just like you're young, you're thinking, I will never get old. He always talks like that. I'm young, play soccer, enjoy life. The teams are winning, you know, whatever. Did your team win? You're not sure. You should check. You should be in anxiety about it. So then you're thinking you'll never get there. But youth is meant for Krishna consciousness. Because one day you'll be old, and one day you'll die, and one day you will take another birth. You got to prepare for that. So, any questions or comments? Jitendra? Yeah. Well, I mean, he's a Nityasiddha devotee. I mean, he came from the spiritual... Nothing made him like that. He was in the spiritual world, and Krishna asked him, just like even Krishna had a guru. Do you remember Krishna's guru's name? Sandapani Muni. So These are all persons that Krishna had come from the spiritual world to help him in his pastimes. That when the Lord appears, he doesn't come alone. He brings all of his associates, his energies and his associates. So, same thing with Lord Chaitanya. I mean, you have the Panchatattva, of course. And then you have, listed in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, all the branches of the Chaitanya tree, all the branches of Lord Nityananda, Lord Nityananda's tree. You know, Lord Nityananda's part of the Chaitanya tree. So you have all these people who were actually brought down. And then Kavi Karnapur, who is wrote the Gaura Ganadesh Dipika, he wrote who these people were in Krishna Leela. It's interesting. And I don't remember who Madhavendra Puri was at Krishna Leela. But every single one of the associates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were in Krishna Leela. You know, there's some exceptions, like Murari Gupta was in Ram Leela. He was Hanuman. So these are all Nityananda devotees. I mean, they're just like a traveling group that's doing theatrical performances. Do you have that here in Australia sometimes? That there's a theatrical group and they go from one village to another doing something like, you know, the play of Hair. You've heard of the Hair play? Some of you have heard of that. Actually, Govardhan would hear about that. Remember? Many years ago they had this play called Hair, where all the hippies were running around talking about hair, 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 how nice it was. And they would travel from place to place doing this play. My mother brought me to see that play. And it was disgusting because in the middle of the play, everyone took their clothes off. So Krishna, of course, Krishna's plays are completely spiritual. So Krishna's traveling, that's called Leela. You know what Leela means? Pastimes, but play. Like you don't have so many Leelas, do you? Like you say, you know, what's your Leela? Getting chastised by your parents, that's my Leela. Now I have my getting sick Leela. Now I have my angry Leela. Now I have going to sleep Leela. No. Leela means something you do voluntarily that's pleasurable. You just choose to do it. And so Krishna has this Leela and he brings all of his friends with him. It's nice, isn't it? And then you can become one of those friends. What do you think? You can travel. Can you think of, in the Bhagavad Gita, who is mentioned as a person who travels with Krishna? Arjuna. Because what does Krishna say in the Gita? Yeah. And then Krishna says, when I spoke to the sun god, Vivaswan, you were there. And Arjuna says, hey, I can't remember that, Krishna. And Krishna says, you know, many, many births both you and I have passed. And I can remember all of them, and you can't. And Prabhupada explains, because we change the body. When we change the body, we forget. We've had many births in this world, of course, not in Krishna Leela. But we forget them all because of the change of body. Okay, any other questions? Yeah. Yes.
So what qualities does he have that make him so attractive?
Well, basically because he understood the conjugal love of the gopis when nobody else understood it. I mean, if you look at our sampradaya, we're called the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. Then you have Shripad Madhva Acharya, who presented, I mean, of course, he understood too. I mean, there's some information in the Navadvipa Dham Mahatmya that he was told about, you know, the love of the gopis, and he was told about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's impending advent, but he was told not to say anything to anyone. But in our sampradaya, nobody presents that until you get to Madhavendra Puri about the intense. Of course, the gopi information about the gopis was always there. But about the intense mood and descriptions of the intense mood and experiences of the intense mood of the gopis was not manifest until Madhavendra Puri appeared. So there's something very special that he presented. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he also presented something very, very special, the Yuga Dharma. And, What is the mood of Srimati Radharani? You know, he was exhibiting that, taking the mood of Srimati Radharani. But Madhavendra Puri was actually showing himself to be the servant of Srimati Radharani. So it's very special. Any other questions? Very difficult. Yeah, most of us are in the stage of Maya Bhava, or what we call Bhava Rog. You know what Bhava Rog means? The emotions of sickness. Rog. Because in this material world, we're all sick. Who is well? Prabhupada said that in his poem, Vrindavan, Vrindavan Bhajan. He said, who is well in this world? We're all sick, spiritually sick. And the disease, the medicine for the disease of sickness is what? Chanting. Yeah, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, I have brought the medicine. Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago, Gore Chandra Bole. So anyway, it's Krishna consciousness. So, any other questions? Yeah.
In the Leela you described, there was Gopal was hiding in the day in the bushes because
the Muslims. Yeah.
So, why does the deity hide in that way? I mean, if it's the Supreme Lord, couldn't he punish them or punish that?
It's his pastime. And he allows the independence of the Jiva souls.
Isn't it the devotee hidden there?
Yeah, the devotee. Yeah, not that he walked there, but. I mean, some deities walk. Isn't it? Like Sakshi Gopal, he walked all the way across India. He wouldn't let me see him. When I tried to see Sakshi Gopal, he said, you're not allowed in because you were born in the West. Sakshi Gopal didn't say that, but the so-called pandas said that. So, yeah, this is the Lord's pastime. It's also described, like, he was installed on top of Govardhan Hill. But guess what? When he was installed on top of Govardhan Hill, Lord Chaitanya wanted to see him, but Lord Chaitanya would not climb Govardhan Hill. So what happened to enable Lord Chaitanya to see Gopal? Do you know the story? The deity came down because there was a rumor the Muslims were coming. So there was a rumor the Muslims were coming, so he came down and Lord Chaitanya was able to see him. Same thing happened to the Goswamis too when they came. There was some rumor that Muslims are coming. So the difficulties in this world that a devotee has to come in contact with, or the temples have to come in contact with, are arranged by Krishna to purify us. I mean, even you see in South India sometimes, the Muslim invasion, certain places, they killed thousands of Hindus. And in fact, there were 80 million Hindus killed over the space of about 150 years. And so, you may say, you know, doesn't Krishna protect the devotees? But actually, Krishna arranges whatever situation is necessary to have us surrender to him. If that means someone Muslim coming to us with a chopper to chop our head off, Hare Krishna, we go back to Godhead. Perfect arrangement, isn't it? Because if you know when you're dying, isn't that good? You know that story about that devotee who wanted to know when he was going to die? What's his name? Do you remember? Anyone know that? Maharaj Katvanga. He was fighting for the demigods. Anyone's heard of that story? No, that's Muchukunda.
Oh, that's
Maharaj Katvanga was fighting for the demigods. And the demigods said, whatever you want, you can have. And he said, I just want to know when I'm going to die. And they said, yeah, we've got about 10 seconds left. So he came down to the earth planet, took shelter of Krishna, went back to Godhead. Also the story of Parikshit Maharaj, right? He had 7 days. He could have counteracted the curse of Sringi, the Brahmin boy. But why did he accept that curse?
Because he did something wrong.
No, well, he was humble. But he accepted the curse. Why? Yeah, because you know when you're going to die. I mean, it's pretty nice knowing when you're going to die, isn't it? I mean, it would be good, you know. You go to the astrologer, he says, all right, you've got 10 days, 36 minutes, and 12 seconds. Okay, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. What would you do if you got a notice you were going to die? Actually, there was one movie when I was young, or one TV show, about someone who got 1 year notice he was going to die, and guess what he did? He tried to enjoy as much as possible during that one. You saw that TV show?
No.
Has anyone seen that? So his idea was like enjoy the body as much as possible during the year. Because you're going to die anyway. So our idea is, if we get notice, it's a benediction. So if some Muslim comes up to us with one of those choppers, like you have in Fiji, you know, those little choppers. And we go, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Back to Godhead. So we should always be alert like that.
So the Lord arranges these things for the purification of the...
For the devotee's benefit. And sometimes it appears pretty cruel, but it's actually for the material, for the spiritual benefit of the devotee.
And is it the same when he arranges even for himself, meaning the deity, to be destroyed?
Yeah. Sometimes he arranges for the deity to be destroyed because he's upset with the devotees. Because they're not worshiping him properly. They're using the deity, like Prabhupada said, using the Shalagram Shila to crack nuts with. I was with Prabhupada one time, and I think you all heard this story. There was one temple where they offended the devotees, and the devotees said to Prabhupada, we saw a beautiful deity there. And Prabhupada said, there's no deity there. And the devotee said, but Prabhupada, you don't understand. There was a deity. We saw the deity. And Prabhupada said, you heard what I said. I was in Prabhupada's room when he said this. You heard what I said, there is no deity. And then Prabhupada gave that famous quote, they were using the Shalagram Shila to crack nuts with. So in other words, the deity left. It's not that Krishna has to stay no matter what kind of nonsense you are. Krishna comes of his own accord and Krishna can leave. Isn't it? He's independent. Like if you offend me, I'll leave. If you don't feed me, I'll leave. Right? Like if I come to your house, Keshu, and said, all right, where's the prasadam? And your mother says, just drink water, you know. We're not going to cook for you. I said, goodbye. This is the last time I'm coming here to your house. Isn't it? Or even if they give me nice food, prasadam, but with the wrong attitude. Let's say, yes, I go to your house, I'm sitting down, and of course you wouldn't do that, but if your mother said, here's your food, Gulay, just eat it and be happy. What would I do? I'd say, I'm not going to eat this. I'll go to the supermarket and get my own food. Isn't it? You know, someone serves you with the wrong attitude, it's poisonous too. It can make you sick. So that's why I'm always careful who cooks for me. And Krishna is super careful of who cooks for him. So that, I mean, there's some stories when the devotees are serving the deities, Radha Krishna deities, and they don't have the right attitude, they make the offering and they come back to the altar to get the plates and they find everything on the floor. Because Krishna, you know, Radharani says, this is garbage, I'm not going to eat this. I'm not going to give this to Krishna. Krishna is a person, so he can come or he can disappear according to his sweet will. That's why we have to treat the deities nicely, because Krishna doesn't have to stay there and put up with our nonsense. Okay, time to go horseback riding. I'm just joking. Bicycle riding. So, I guess that's it. And then we'll go for breakfast to Narhari's place. And so, everybody going to breakfast with us? It's Sunday. Sunday. No work? Oh, you have to work today.
No, we do.
Yeah, because you have to, that's your weekend work, right?
Yeah, that's all I do.
To keep your license current.
Yeah, I need basic
relatives. Oh. You have to support your husband, yeah. He has expensive tastes. You know, silk dhotis and... cold iPhones, you know. Okay, on that happy note, and today they were able to see us on the internet.